It's all your fault. That's all I have to say to every Leafs fan that's listening to this thing. It's all your fault. You're right. It's your fault for believing that they would win that game when they had lost 10 elimination games before that. It's all your fault because you either went to the game or you didn't go to the game or you were in the wrong place, you sat in the wrong chair, you had the wrong snack, you ordered the wrong food, you got up at the wrong time, you told somebody in private that you thought they were going to win. It's your fault. The amount of people that I've already talked to that actually believe that they've had some impact on this, including myself. It's so bad. It is so bad. There's got to be, this has to be the number one city right now on planet Earth for just self-chastising fans that are really starting to question their sanity, their place in the world, whether they should watch sports, whether they have an impact on things, whether curses are real. Like, all of the supernatural is in play for this fan base like no other fan base on Earth. It is just everybody's shot. I get it. Everybody woke up today. If you care about this team, you probably woke up and you stared at the ceiling and you just wondered why. And you got out of bed and you knew you were going to have conversations with people, and you knew that all of them were going to be the same, and that you were going to look other fans in the eyes and say they're dead, even though they're up 3-2 in a series. God, anyways, the guy that said they were going to lose this game but is going to win the next one asked, he's coming on here for a second before Brian Book. It's Christopher Stieg. You were there last night. You said they were going to lose this game. Congratulations, you were right. All of Toronto, sad. What did you want to talk about today? Because, yeah, the floor is yours, Mr. I sat in the fancy seats and went to the actual game. Also your fault.
Yes, I was there.
Yeah.
And we said, what did they need to do game one? They needed to get better coaching. They obviously don't put Bunting in. That's why they lose game five, part of it. And it's because the fans.
JD. Oh, you scumbag.
Listen to me. Listen to me.
You scumbag.
4 minutes left. Listen. 4 minutes left. 3-1 game. TV timeout. Not one fan was standing. I looked at my friend, Brody Sheehan, MNP, if you ever need an accountant.
I looked at him and I said,
why is not one fan standing? There's still 4 minutes left. So this is what happened, JD. I said, I'm going to stand. I was the one. I stood up. My buddy started laughing. Hold on. He's laughing at me.
Yeah.
Then he stood up. Then the whole section started to stand up. Guess what they did? They scored. No, they didn't end up winning the game, but they scored. All because
of you.
I stood up.
Yeah.
And that's what Leafs fans need to do in the hardest moments, JD. I'm telling you. What did I say last year? Other times, they get down, they sit down, the fans in the building. If you want your team to win, you need to get up.
Hey.
Brody, I remember, hey, I'm talking to my buddy. He was with me on a ton of runs. We'd be down in games. Chicago fans never sat down. Never, never. I know you guys have been through a lot of pain. A lot of pain, JD. Especially you. But I'm telling you, and I'm going to get off right now so you can get to boil. I was very sad, but I stood up, and it started there. So don't worry. Next time they're down, you got to stand up.
Are you going to go to game seven with your pom-poms? Are you going to go and make sure that you,
I told you
defense?
I told you it's done in game six because everyone's going to be standing at home in their living room.
I will tell you this, that this is what I think about ghosts being real and how this stuff does work. Is I obviously don't believe that there's some specter hanging over the organization, but I think when you lose and you lose and you lose, it's impossible for the mentality not to spread. Like, I get it. Those fans sitting down and feeling shell-shocked when they're down 3-1 and nobody's just thinking to stand, because everybody's that's there is thinking, I can't believe I did this to myself again. I can't believe I came down here. The real fans anyways. Like, I know that.
All it takes is one. And I stood up, JD.
Sure. Yes, all it takes is one.
All it takes is one.
Yeah,
yep.
The hero.
What? They scored.
Leafs Nation. But that's it.
I'm letting you know, Leafs Nation, you got to cheer these guys on when they're down. You can't sit down.
I'll tell you this right now. If they're down in a game seven, there won't be cheering, Chris. There's going to be booing and tears, and I don't even know what the hell the reaction's going to be, but I'm not. Here's what I'll tell you. I'm not going to tell anybody what to do when it comes to cheering with this team because the relationship is abusive, but my point there about the ghosts is that I do think that spreads everywhere. And I can I believe what you're saying is true, that as a player, when you're in an arena that's dead quiet and the fans' nervousness is just there, that of course it's going to spread to the players, just like you might have a little bit of extra legs when the building is going nutso, right? I get it. I know what I believe you. I think you're right in some regard. I was joking earlier when I said it is the fans' fault because ultimately these players get millions of dollars. Like, how about you go win? You guys, it's 11
last
times.
Last year, game seven, though, 2-1. Same thing. I remember I came on your radio show when they lost game seven. I said no one was standing up.
Yeah. You know who else didn't stand up? Austin Matthews, Mitch Marner, John Tavares, all the 10-plus million-dollar players who have now 0-11.
I'm telling you, I agree.
Yeah.
But you got to give them something.
Yeah.
That's you got to give them a little juice.
You know what they got, Chris?
Yeah. A big loss. I agree.
The money. That's what the money's for, as John Hamm says in Mad Men. That's what the money's for. Play good. Play better. Get the monkey off your back, for God's sakes, Toronto Maple Leafs. I cannot believe they did this to the fans again. Yes, it sucks. I wish the fans were louder. I wish the fans weren't so broken. But they're the ones who broke it.
The energy was great, though.
Yeah, during the game?
You, the start, yeah, it was a great crowd. I was actually very surprised and shocked. And again, it went dead after the third goal. They needed a lift. And guess what? One guy stood. That was me. Yeah. And they scored.
All right, Chris Versteeg.
Next time it'll happen again.
They're going to win game six. You said it. And remind people why you're feeling good. Are you feeling as good about them still winning game six after what you saw in game five?
Yeah, I am.
Okay.
There comes down to two things. Bunting's going to get back in. Uh-huh. Throughout the entire game, you guys couldn't... how nice would it have been to bring Michael Bunting into the lineup and then use him throughout the game when you're down or in certain moments? You can't put Lafferty in these other guys.
Well, especially since Yarncroc was
situation.
Bad.
And Yarncroc hasn't been great either. So it's just... Those are hard calls he has to make. He didn't make a hard call. He paid for it.
Mm-hmm.
So again, game six, you bring Bunting back. I think it can shift the energy a bit. I think these guys, they'll have, it's two full days of anxiety until they got to play, but they're going to build it up. And I think they're going to get it home because it's on the road. They're on the road. The pressure's a little lessened. They don't have to perform like they do at home. And I think that's why they're going to get it done.
Well, I did say yesterday on Leafs Talk, subscribe and review. You always try to blow up my phone whenever I'm right in the middle of doing the post. I've told you a million times, I'm like, I do a post game show. And then you always want it. The only time you ever want to talk to me is right after the Leafs game. It's where you do it every single time. You're like memento guy. It doesn't matter how many times I tell you, you forget 10 seconds later that's what I'm doing. But I did question, what is that plane ride like to Tampa with the guys right now? The Leafs plane. It is got
to
be.
It's not a good plane ride to Tampa.
No.
I'll tell you that. It's not a good plane ride.
No.
They're stressed out. The fans are stressed out and everyone. But again, to get out of town, to get on the road, to be around your teammates, and again, just doing other things. So whether they're – we used to do video games with the Hawks in the room, right? Mm-hmm. They had a video game set up. There's a lot of other things that you could do with your teammates. But to get out of town, to get away from everything, I think it'll let them settle down and get into game six. That's why I think they're going to win on the road, and I didn't think they were going to win at home. But – this is the best thing for them is to get out of town. Oof. But you're right. The plane ride right now, it's not good.
No. Cannot imagine it would be. Chris Versteeg, again, 2-time Stanley Cup champion, creator of the Clever app, which, again, if you've got kids in sports, go download the Clever AI app for free. It's in the App Store. Get it. You won't regret it. It will help your kids perform in sports. Chris, thanks for making time. We'll talk to you later.
You take care. Stand up, JD. Stand up.
Here's what I'll reiterate this. I don't fan shame at all. The only fan I actually hate is that guy. That guy who just came on is the you gotta cheer a certain way guy in a horrific sports moment at an arena. I've been there before. I'll never forget when I was there for the Blue Jays Rangers at home. Jays lose again to the Rangers. They're getting shellacked. It's like Ryan Tepera is now in here.
Ooh.
It's a blowout. And I got some fan in front of me, some guy who's yelling about how everybody cheer. You guys. It's one of the funnier fan moments, actually. I did burst out laughing after he said that. He's like, all year long, you fake support them. He's like, he's literally turned looking at the crowd and he's like, and now in the moment of need, you stab them in the back. And it's
dramatic. Oh my goodness.
Stab in the back. Yeah, I'm two minds of this. I do think you should support your team, obviously. I think that people love dunking on Leaf fans from every walk of life everywhere. And so when you see it in national media or from Versteeg or from anybody who wants to say, like, this is how Leaf fans were supposed to be, like in his voice right there. Yeah, that's Chris. Pretty good. What do you guys think? I've been working on it. Nice?
It's not bad. It's not bad.
Yeah. 8 out of 10.
Yeah, thank you. It's a lot of just hating Leaf fans, all right? A lot of people just hate this group of fans because they wish so badly that they actually played in front of a fan base that cared about them this way. Like, you know how much more famous all of these guys would be if it was all playing in front of Leaf fans in every building? You know?
Yeah.
Like, think about it. Think about every other fan base in the league if they were covered like the Toronto Maple Leafs and celebrated like the Toronto Maple Leafs over, again, nothing accomplishments. These guys have done nothing. They've lost 0 of 11. 0 of 11 in elimination games. Just extreme pain. And still, they're the number one most discussed team in the city, and everybody knows them. So I think a lot of that stuff is just straight up weird mix of jealousy, bias, whatever. But man, oh man, oh man, you could feel the ghosts last night.
Yeah.
You could just feel it, like you said, in that building with the final 3 minutes. You could feel it with those players when they're talking. Oh, man, even Sheldon Keefe had to go up there and do the whole, like, it's not because of pressure. Like, all right. You say so, buddy. You guys are 0-11 these do-or-die games. And I know you weren't the coach for all of them, and I know that Tavares and the team wasn't the exact same. In fact, our next guest was on one of those teams. But, man, oh, man, oh, man. Yeah, that plane ride down to Tampa.
It's going to be quiet.
Yeah. A lot of headphones.
Yep.
Don't. Imagine seeing, looking back and seeing guys just having a fun old time playing cards. Like, ooh, no. Brian Boyle, former Toronto Maple Leaf, NHL Network. Yeah, boy, oh boy, oh boy. 14 years in the NHL. Yeah, Brian, was that a ghost game? What do you think? Is ghost real? Or, is this city cursed? Are we going to be okay? Say something nice, please.
It stinks. It stinks that I was at home. Oh. There was some buildup to it. But, I mean, they're playing a pretty good team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not easy to win a series. And that is probably multiplied. Like, look, I get it. It's a big round number, and it doesn't favor the Leafs at all. But they're a good team. They've had stretches. They have guys that I think are going a little bit right now. I think it's encouraging to see, like, I mean, if I'm a Tampa fan and you're up 3-1 late in the game, you're still really, really nervous. So they gotta understand they have that going for them. They kind of almost have to flip the script on, you know, what's being said and understand that, like, you can strike fear in Tampa's heart right now because it looks like when it's crunched, like, late in the game, you can score at will. That is like, that's a dangerous weapon. That's, it's not all bad. It's 3-2. Yeah. Leafs.
Yeah.
It's not, you know what I mean? And
City right now, I'll tell you, it feels like 3-0 Tampa. Like, that's how it feels here today. Like, truly, I'm not exaggerating. PTSD. That's the vibe of the city today. 3-0 Tampa.
Little PTSD.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's kicking in, man.
A chance to be great. Like, it was quiet in there, wasn't it?
Yeah, at the end. Versteeg needed to jump on, tell everybody how great he is for standing up at the game and making other people stand. He literally texted me, like, you got me on. I was at the game, and I stood up. I was like, okay, great. And he came on for that 5 minutes for you. So you could not be worse than our leadoff guest today. Like, I gave you the best setup ever. You came in here to clean up for Versteeg after he bombed in front of the audience and blamed all the Leafs fans for being too quiet. Yeah, I think it's quiet, but I get it because – man, this fan base has been through so much. It's not a normal fan base. Like, this is now 11 straight elimination games they've lost. 11, Brian. Like, that does start to wear on you. And these people who are paying for tickets and who keep building themselves up to believe that this is going to be different, who have to hype themselves up in this extreme way and hear it from every other fan base constantly and hear it from every show, whatever, that, yeah, it stings. It sucks. And so obviously they're going to get the wind knocked out of them. But you're right. Toronto is a good team. And I think part of the worst part of this is people still do believe they're going to win. People still think that Toronto's going to find a way to get this thing done. People are still going to watch the games. People aren't giving up on this team like they always say they do. You're right. But let me just put it blunt like this. They've now played these five games, and Tampa has looked way better I would, or at least better. Let's not say way. They've looked better in four of the games. All regular season long, the Leafs look better. But are we at the point now where we can say that this series, Tampa Bay is the better hockey team?
I think that Tampa's played more minutes of better hockey.
Yeah.
That's true. But look, there's a lot of different things you could say. It doesn't matter. Like, I played for the Penguins last year. We lost in seven to the Rangers. I thought we should have won the series in five. It doesn't matter. And people don't even remember the series because it was the first round last year.
Mm-hmm.
It happens sometimes. But that's encouraging for the Leafs. They haven't played their best game. Maybe game two. But they can get back to that game. And, you know, as far as the fans go, like, look, I get, like, it's frustrating for a lot of reasons. One is probably because a lot of people are priced out as well, and they can't get into the barn, and they would be nuts in that rink, and big they'd time. Be going crazy, and they would love it. And then okay, so they go down to the square, and everybody has a great time. They can't get in to watch their favorite team. They're rooting for them. They feel like they're not heard. And then if they disappoint them year after year, it's definitely frustrating. You're a fan. You're allowed to be frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to understand what these guys, it's not that they don't want it. Like, they want it.
Do they want it too much? Like, honestly, like, because if we're saying that Tampa isn't necessarily better, but they're playing better hockey, that means one of two things. One is just that the veteran, the intangible stuff, and knowing how to play in these moments – the Leafs still haven't learned it well enough to do it, or they're gripping the sticks too tight and they're playing tentative hockey and they're afraid to lose. Like, what do you see with their group right now as to why they're not able to just kind of elevate and just be the better hockey team throughout the majority of play when that's who they were through the regular season?
That's hard for me. I mean, I don't know if it's because they took a third of their team and moved them at the deadline, but I think some of their additions have been really good.
Really good.
You know what it's you know what I mean? So it's not like, I think, you know, you get bottom sixers, like, you know, you take like a Lafferty, for example. He doesn't do a whole lot during the game, and then he can throw a big hit or do something, but you can't be on the ice for a couple of games like that. And I like Laff a lot. He can be a weapon. He can fly. I think, I'd like to see, you know, Nolichari come up with a big play. These guys, and then on the back end, you need just a little bit more, I think, on D. And then, like, those two guys, I think, need to get real greasy up front. And even, you know, Reese or two, Zach Gaston Reese, these guys got to get real greasy. I don't know what he's going to do with his lineup. He's probably going to put Bunting back in, and he's got a target on his back with the refs, so he's got to be careful. But you got to do your job on the bottom six, let the top guys do their job, and I think you just keep playing the crap out of Ryan O'Reilly too, especially every faceoff, throw him on the ice, because he's been a difference maker for that team, a kind of a player that I think was missing the last maybe two or three years.
Mm-hmm.
I think Nazem Kadri was a great centerman in that role, but then he obviously would get all fired up and do something crazy in the playoffs. Like, they have, it's so small. Like, there's so many good teams, and how to get past each round is such a hard thing to do. When you figure out how to do it, like the Tampa Bay Lightning, one team can win. Two teams go to the final. There's a reason. Tampa's been there the last 3 years, and most of that group's been there four times total.
Mm-hmm.
There's something there. You call it intangibles. You call it whatever you want. It's just the understanding, like, next shift, next shift, next shift. You scored, you got scored, you got, it doesn't matter. Next shift, next shift. And that's why I thought Toronto was in a really good place, and there was a new Leafs team when they went up 3-1, because it seemed to me like that's what they were doing. They weren't playing their best,
mm-hmm.
but they got a big goal or a big play at the right time. Now, they're through five. Wipe everything clean. Like, you woke up today. The series started yesterday. You woke up today. You're up 3-2. You're one win away. You have two chances to do it. Hopefully, they learned a lesson last night. Something. They learned something from the Lightning that they can adjust to and can figure out, okay, we learned something. We're better prepared to go into game six, even if we're down there. We don't have to put on a show in front of our crowd. We can just go to work. One shift, one shift, one shift, go to work, take the game as it comes to us, not try and do something crazy, not go go rogue and go off script. And by the at the end of 60 minutes, you'll see where you're at. I think that's the way you have to play it.
Yeah, I'm with you. A lot of people, I think, including myself, thought this team was different the way that they won those two games in Tampa, where they clearly got outplayed, but they did enough to hang around, right? And they never let themselves get out of it. They played tough. They stuck around. They got some goaltending, and they won playoff-style games. And, yeah, that hasn't always been there for them in the past. Like, they've actually been on the receiving end of those losses normally where they outshoot the other team. They have good energy. The other team gets some good stops and some timely goals. And, yeah, it's not lost on people that Ryan O'Reilly scored this big game-tying goal, right, that sends them to overtime, and he scores it from a dirty area. Man, he's so hard on pucks. Like, he's just a battler there with it. It's incredible to watch him. Like, he is so valuable to this team. Thinking about them without him is actually sort of hard to do. But that's just it, is that they still have to prove this one. This is the last leg. It's the most important leg, which is just, you know, find the way to win the closeout game. You've unlocked this ability to win games you don't, quote unquote, deserve to win, playoff-style games. Now figure out how to actually close out the series. And yes, learn from those mistakes. I don't know how you learn that, right? Like, I don't know what Ryan O'Reilly's supposed to say to those guys, or Noel Acciari, the guys, Luke Shen, the guys who've actually won series, how they communicate this other than with their play. But it just feels as though there has to be at least a little bit of a mental block for some of those guys, no? Like, the guys who haven't done it, to be staring down 0 of 11 and just kind of be reminded of that in those moments?
Yes. I mean, I know. I've gone to buildings where we had, like, as a team, we've had, like, a mental block. We went, when I was in New York for a long time, we went to Montreal. We couldn't win in Montreal. And even if we get a 2 or 3 goal lead or something, we would fail miserably, like, spectacular fashion, to the point where writers would be like, oh, it's a block. It's a mental block. And then you start believing it. I hope they don't. I hope, honestly, like, I caught the end of what you were saying about this team flight. You know, this is the most fun time of year. It has to stay that way. That's like where you wear a block shot with a big bruise, like a badge of honor. You're still loose. You're still making fun of each other on that plane. You know, no one's above anybody else. You're all pulling the rope the same way. If you're flying down to Tampa for 3 hours and you're going through customs and doing all that, and you're all miserable and no one's talking, you ain't going to win. You're going nowhere fast. Enjoy each other. Enjoy the moment. Embrace the moment. Get excited about it. You get to play a playoff hockey game. Like, I would do a lot of bad things to be able to play a playoff hockey game right now.
Yeah.
For me, it's a cool opportunity for them. They're again, like I said, they're on the road, which might actually help them. We'll see. We'll see what Keith does too. I think he'll tinker a little bit up front and on the back end. Probably has to. But what was I going to say about O'Reilly? Oh, so, like, they were tying that game up unless Cirelli wins a forehand faceoff on his bad side last night. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, they were coming. Mitchie hits the post. Like, there's enough good there, especially towards the end of the game, where they shouldn't be scared. You can't be scared. And you can't play scared.
Agree. And you're right about the plane. And this just, I think, even some of this is just, you know, my personality being projected out into the show, which is that I'm the type of person that sometimes when things are really bad or you've really been disappointing, and then somebody in the group tries to be like, haha, I'm the one who's like, nah, now, you know, like, don't do this right now. I can't pretend. And if I have to smile, it's going to break every fiber of me. Like, I won't, I cannot get through this moment if we have to pretend like everything is normal and cool. I need to address the elephant in the room. But you know what? I've been thinking about this and I'm glad you brought it up. Okay. So Leafs, when they looked their best last night, right? Goalies pulled, game, you're no pressure. What have they done in this series? They came back when they're down 4-1. They score again with Ryan O'Reilly. Pressure's off. End of the game. They win a blowout fashion. That makes me a little, like, that makes me more nervous about the ghost stuff, because it seems as though when these guys get the pressure off of them in these games, they play their best version of themselves. They've got Tampa on their heels and they're dominating them. And you're going, you know, Mitchie's right there and they've got them scared and they look good. It's like, yeah, it's during all of the moments where it seems the less tense. when there's no goalie in the back of the net. So you're going, hey, this is over anyways if we don't get one in. And then they find a way to unlock that gear. It doesn't seem like it's just the extra guy that's on the ice. It does feel like they're playing free hockey in those moments. Down 4-1, Matthews and Marner starting to look their best, and the rest of the team starts to follow suit. It's hard for me to ignore that stuff. You know, like, it seems like it's at least a something at this point that they look their best when they're down in these games.
Like nothing to lose.
Yeah, exactly.
The game's already results done. So yeah, let's just show them what we can do.
Exactly. That's sort of how, like, you think there's anything to that, or this is just the way that it goes in the playoffs? No, you're not. It doesn't seem you're coming with me on this one.
Well, no, I never even thought of that. That's, I don't know how you get there, because, like, flip the script a little on and put it in Tampa shoes. Like, again, like, we know where they've been and how they've gotten there the last few years. Do you think they're just going to let teams, like, waltz right through?
No.
Like, the pressure's on them, and they've been able to lock it down in moments like that, no matter what, for so many years.
Yeah.
The fact that Toronto can just go and do that with those six guys, like, those same six guys, like, if they had a timeout or if they had another minute, who knows?
Yeah.
But they were just out of gas. That's the only reason they got beat back up. I mean, it was a three-minute shift or whatever it was.
They were on the ice for, like, the last 4 minutes of the game. Just left them out. There's one shift.
They're dangerous when they're down. They got to start fast and hope Vassie doesn't kind of keep elevating his game, because he wasn't at his best too, and that's they took advantage of that, which is they put themselves in a really good spot. That's interesting. I'm gonna chew on that all day. That's interesting.
Yeah, see, there's at least something to it. Like, it's, you're right that Tampa's obviously not just gonna concede, and they've got a great track record, but man, when Toronto's been down in this series and it feels like they're completely down and out, that has been some of their best moments in the series, where they do look free and they are just wheeling and they're dominating the play. Like, that's it. Like, how many people thought Toronto were, like, how they were going to come back? They're like, yeah, we just saw them do this twice in a row where they came back in two games and now they're dominating possession. These guys have been out there for 4 minutes, but they're still absolutely killing Tampa, and there's Hedman out there. It's some of the best players on planet Earth that are playing, and it's one of the best goaltenders who's ever lived in net. And you still feel like down two goals with 4 minutes left that Toronto has this incredible chance to come back. And I go, that is because they have that talent. So how do they unlock that for more of the game? Because it does feel like that block, if they're able to get past that, then they should be the more dominant team in the series. Like, as good as Tampa is, like, all due respect to them, Toronto should be better where they're at. Just, it's a bunch of players that are in their prime, who are coming off of great seasons, who aren't worn down by multiple playoff runs. Like, you saw
healthier.
Like, of course they're healthier. Man, do you see Hedman go to the bench last night? In the first period, he's wincing. He goes to the bench, and you're starting to think, is he going to finish this? Like, they don't have Chernak. They're missing guys. It just, they're beat up. Toronto's got to be the better team, and there's just got to be one game this series, and I hope that happens for them in an elimination game where, you're right, they start on time, they're the better team, and they just, you know, dominate essentially the entire way through and don't give Tampa that opportunity. Like, let me see you flip that switch. Let Leaf fans see that version of you, and then maybe they'll start to believe a little bit more, and then Versteeg can get his happy fans that are standing on their feet and clapping for this team, for God's sakes. Anyway, so you mentioned the tinkering. Bunting clearly going to draw back in, but do you put him back in the top six? Because you mentioned it. He does have the target on his back. They clearly could have used him last night when they were down. But, yeah, what do you do with the lines? Do you just put Bunting back up with Matthews, Marner, load up? You split him up still on the road? Like, what do you do if it's you?
I mean, if it's me, I need three lines that can be dangerous, and I need three lines that, if there's an icing or there's a D-zone draw, I'm not worried about it. You know what I mean? You're going on the road. You got three lines that can bring it with a good mix. You can put them in any three of those. That's where the depth matters, I think. Road. Long playoff runs, obviously you need the depth. But on the road, if you have depth and three lines, for sure three lines, then I think you're in good shape, because it just creates matchup problems. You can't feast. You can't have the last change be like, oh, you know, pointer line, go, because you're going to feast on this line here. No, like, you're going to have three really good, dangerous, responsible lines that you can throw out if you're Sheldon Keefe. So I would try to balance it that way, because there's enough talent, there's enough ability, that you could really mix that up three different ways and still be dangerous and still be able to check. And then I think Willie Nylander, somebody can get him going. He could change the series. He could change this whole script of 0-11. I think that guy, his ability, his talent level is kind of still under the radar in terms of he's not the first guy you're looking at circling on the whiteboard being like, we got to check this guy. Everything goes through him. He's that good. He can be that good.
Dude, those two plays in the first period that he made, right? I think he strips Hagel.
Yeah.
And he just enters the zone. He made two incredible plays that basically should have been back in the net. Vasilevskiy made some big stops. And, yeah, Tampa actually gets lucky because, yeah, Nylander made two incredible plays in the first and just dominated. But my real test with Nylander is he's on a team with Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner. And when he has the puck on his stick, and if you needed one zone entry to save your life, right, just one guy to carry the puck in, he would without a doubt be the guy, right? Just you'd be nervous putting your life on the line with him because you would go, hey, where's his head at, though? And you're like, you don't get to know that part. You're like, ugh, still it's got to be him. He's still so good at it. Because you're right, man. He has these flashes in these games where you go, oh, my God, where is he? And we did this all year in terms of talking about the team is trying to place him properly in the game in terms of its best players, right? Because all the talent is there. The strength is there. He's a freak. He's an absolute freak. And yet sometimes it just seems like he can go brain dead. And I know players hate it when you say they don't care. And I do think he cares, right? But it's just, what is it? What is it about him? Because like you've played with him, you've been around him. What is it where he can have the play that I'm watching right now up on my screen, the beautiful zone entry and the play, like this is great. And beautiful pass, seeing he's hovering around the net, almost gets a goal, almost creates one for Yarncroc. And then for a lot of the game, a guy that talented, you don't notice him.
Yeah, that's tough. I mean, he has all of the tools, and he can fly. His shot is crazy. Like, and he's shooting. He's got, what has he got? 20 shots, 5 games. He's creating. He's around it. He's got points. Mm-hmm. He can be dominant. He sees the game and plays the game a different way because that's how he understands the game. And that is why maybe some people might get frustrated with him. Some people are like, why isn't it there all the time? Well, he plays a game that comes to him. And certain times you need to bring yourself to the game, I guess, for lack of a better way to describe
that's right.
Every single night you need to be there, especially if you're getting – you know, if you're playing a certain amount of minutes, so your responsibility in terms of team success is higher, you're getting paid a certain amount of money, your responsibility in terms of team success is higher, you need to be there, even on nights where the game's played a little bit different than what you're accustomed to. And the thing for him is, and that, you know, the coaches are telling him or the teammates are telling him, like, he could change the game in one shift. Mm-hmm. He has that ability. And he's done it a little bit. I mean, he's on the board. He's making plays. He had, you know, a bunch of assists in game four. He's around the puck. He's stripping guys from behind. Like you said, things like that, those things matter. Mm-hmm. Everybody's going one way. He comes, lifts the stick, takes the puck back. Like, now you have Willie going one way where the rest of the whole rink's going the other way. Like, that's a scary sight for Tampa fans. Like, so he gets involved like that. He gets into the middle of the ice. He could end this, whatever you want to call it. I'm a Red Sox fan, so it's not a curse to me. Whatever people in Toronto are going through, I'm like laughing at you. Mm-hmm. It's nothing compared to what we had to go through, but just understand.
Don't diminish our pain, Brian. It hurts a lot. It hurts the same.
I know it hurts. Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, it sucks.
But they're through it.
Yeah.
Listen, it doesn't hurt. You're not done. Not over.
Of course not. Of course not.
And still winning 3-2.
Yeah. It just, although I will say that it just feels like if almost now I'm thinking with all my theories of them being down in the games that maybe it would have been better if they were down 3-1. It was the opposite, that they had to have their Red Sox moment where it was like, hey, you cursed losers. There's no way that you could win this thing. You blew it again. And then everyone writes you off. That's actually, honestly, one of the most comforting things for me right now is that everyone is overcorrecting now and just being like, the Leafs are losers. I can't believe we got our hopes up. It just feels like this is exactly what they need to be in Tampa Bay when everyone thinks that they're going to blow it. And that's when they finally win. You're right. Cause like they need, although it is so funny that, you know, the difference between Red Sox and Leafs thing here is that, you know, eight teams in each conference make the playoffs in hockey versus baseball, you know, especially when the Red Sox won, there weren't two wild card teams. And yeah, the Red Sox version of not winning was like, yeah, we had a really good team that wasn't able to get over the hump a lot of years. With the Leafs, it's just people are treating this like there's two Stanley Cups. There's winning the first round cup, and then there's winning the actual Stanley Cup. Like, there's two. This is like soccer, where you can win multiple different trophies in a season. So, yeah, the Leafs are looking for their first trophy, which is just to get to the first round. Okay, this is a slightly more positive one, just because we did talk about O'Reilly, and, yeah, it is just really interesting watching him play. Because he is just different. He's so different from a lot of the other guys that the Leafs have. And I think there's just some stuff that you can't teach with him. But you've obviously gone into the corners with this guy. You've battled with this guy. What is it like trying to win a puck battle against Ryan O'Reilly when he is engaged?
No, his strength on the puck is just his hand strength, really. I mean, his timing on it, and put face-offs into it, too. Like, I'll be on my strong side, ready to rip a puck back. He's on his weak side, bringing a backhand towards the middle of the ice, which is hard to do. It's hard to get leverage, and he would snap it back. I wasn't bad at faceoffs. I was pretty good at faceoffs. I was, especially when I was doing a power move, and it was power on power. He generates so much strength. He works at his strength and his hands. Like, it's obviously he's not crazy fast.
Mm-hmm.
He's just unbelievably smart. He puts himself in the right positions. It's like a Bergeron to me. Every single shift, if you're out against him, look, you're looking across the ice and you got to play against him, you know you're not getting a whole lot done. It's mm-hmm. going to be a low event game if you're lucky. Otherwise, he'll shove it down your throat and you'll be minus two quickly.
Mm-hmm.
He has offensive ability. He can check. You can put him anywhere. You can put him on any position on any line.
You know,
he'll make the line better.
What's crazy too is you talk about his hand strength right now. I'm almost positive his finger is broken again. Like, he's playing with a splint. Why is he playing with a splint if it's not broken?
Yeah, he's playing with seven fingers and he snaps and draws back.
Yeah, exactly. He is a beast.
He figured out a way to do it.
Yeah.
And it probably took him a while to work his gloves and cut through his gloves and make sure he can actually grip the stick and put his hand in the glove. Like, it's all day for him. So, and he'll probably go into the room, you know, this morning. He probably went into the room before they trap, whatever it is, and he's probably fidgeting with his gloves and trying to make sure any kind of edge he can get. That's what people need to understand as well. So last night you lose a game at home, you're upset. It's a quiet locker room. You go get a meal in because you have to.
Mm-hmm.
You wake up today, you have to. You got to have a meal, you have to. You have to prepare. You have to start preparing for game six right away. How do you prepare? Everybody prepares a little bit different. So if guys are playing soccer, or guys are having a good time, or guys are playing cards on an airplane, or whatever it is, that's what they should be doing, because this is what makes them great. This guy's probably in fidgeting with his gloves, trying to figure out a way so he can hold a stick with the most strength possible to be heroic with the broken finger, willing his team past the first round. Like, it's 24/7 when the playoffs start,
mm-hmm.
and I think with him there, and the longer that they can go, the better. How about if they lose game six and win in game seven? Would that be the greatest story? I mean, you guys, half your fan base would have been hospitalized.
Yeah, no, but the best story would just be not stressing people out in that game seven, Brian. Everybody's nerves are shot. Like, there's been enough. Just do it. Like, there's no, this fan base isn't at the point of doing the fan fiction thing anymore. And then if he could do, they're down two goals, they come back and get, it's just, no, just, we're Al Davis territory. Just win. I don't care if they cheat. I don't care what happens. They get revealed like 10 years later. Leafs, greatest cheaters in the history of sports, won this game this way. No one would care. Not a single person here would go like, I can't believe it. They would go, good. You know what? I'm glad they cheated because they needed to for those fans. No, everybody's shot. Man, this isn't normal. Like, you tell Leaf fans and you say, yeah, you're up 3-2 and you've played well and you got Ryan O'Reilly and you've got some of the best players on the planet, the same stuff's playing well, and there's a lot of reasons to believe and blah blah, you got two kicks at the can. Every fan base on earth, like, Leaf fans rationally can look at those facts and say, yes, it's all right. But it's just the damage has been done with people who care about this team, who talk big talk about this team for a long time. It's just, yeah, there's no perfect scenario anymore other than win. No matter how they win, That's the scenario that I like the most. You'll just tell me anything. Game 7, Game 6, cheating in Game 3, somehow the league rigs it. I don't care. You know, the other team forfeits, whatever. It's just like, win. go forward and win a series. That's all I need right now. Hey,
forfeit?
Man. Yeah, what were you saying? Yeah, forfeit. I'll take a forfeit. Happily take a forfeit. I would not bat an eye.
Don't you want to watch the game?
Yeah, no, I not really, actually. That's the worst part. That's the worst part. I did not enjoy watching the game last night. Sucked. And by the way, just so you know, everybody that works on the show, they're all nodding their heads vigorously. All Leaf fans, like, yeah, forfeit, baby. Like, take it. Take the W. No, it's not fun. It's really not fun right now. Yeah, they're up 3-2, and it's not fun. They got a huge game on Saturday night. I can't wait for it. Hey, man, this is always fun getting to chat. And I hope the Leafs are going deeper. And I hope that I'm talking to you again during this run. And you're like, wasn't that sweet? And then I say, yeah, it was better than the Red Sox. It was even sweeter than the Red Sox beat the Yankees. That's what I'll tell you. Brian Boyle, former Leaf, 14 years in the show, NHL Network. Thanks, buddy. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, Jay. Thanks, buddy.
See you, man. There he goes. Boy. Yeah. There's no dreaming up sweet scenarios anymore. Just any winning scenario is sweet. For the love of God, stop losing elimination.
Start hitting trash cans or something.
Stop losing elimination. I'd like to address the Toronto Maple Leafs just quickly here. Guys, please stop losing elimination games. We're begging you. Please stop doing this. Just one time when there's an elimination game where you can win a series, win that hockey game. Don't be the biggest losers who ever lost and win. Try winning for once would be what I would say. Give it a shot. I think you'll like it.
One win can eliminate 11 losses.
I'm so sick of this.
One right fixes 11 wrongs.
No, it doesn't. It's just win. Just win one time and let people feel some happiness here, for God's sakes. Yeah. Stick it to the Christopher Steegs of the world, all right? The people who say that you're not doing something enough.
I would happily take a forfeit.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Forfeit would actually be the sweetest way.
Oh, they don't even need the fourth win.
Don't have
That's
to play.
Best.
You don't have to sit through it, Saturday night off. Yeah, Tampa has forfeited. They've just decided, never mind, is the quote from John Cooper. God, that man, John Cooper, when he walked off the podium last night, he did that little walk-off move.
Oh, my goodness.
He went, oh, I said, don't you want this to not be over?
And yeah.
He's like, you know, we're going back to Tampa. And blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, he's like, hockey's so fun.
Yeah.
Don't you guys want to be back here for game 7? That makes me sick.
I admire Cooper so much because he's such a winner. He's such a winner.
Yeah.
But that pissed me off so much. I went, all right, please let that be Hagel 2.0. Play that in your dressing room. Like, these guys are still cocky against you. This coach has been sticking it to you for 2 years.
They were cocky when they were down 3-1. They were saying, yeah, I wouldn't bet against our guys. When they were down 3-1.
Please beat Tampa. That's my final plea. That's the final time I ask. Anyways, let's take a quick break. Let's come back. Let's close the sucker. At least I keep winning bets, all right? At least I dominated that bet. Jaylen Brown started 3 of 10 in that game. And people were quitting on me. I was getting messages. Leafs could learn something from me, a winner, okay? A guy who wins. A guy who, when faced with 3 of 10, Jaylen Brown, on the road, no hope. I dug deep and I found a way to win another best bet, another Betano best bet. All right. So learn from me, a winner of bets, a winner in life, Toronto Maple Leafs. Okay. Stop making me affiliated to you losers and win, win like me. Best bets brought to you by Betano. That's next. And again, if you want to play Betano, reach out, hit me up at JD Bunkus anytime. If you haven't given a shot yet, let's do best bet next.
Sportsnet 590. Fan.
Man, not only did the Leafs lose and rob me of my Saturday, my sanity, my happiness,
oh my
city
goodness.
I love's mood, they caused me watching the NFL draft, which is one of my favorite television events of the year, the first round, and my team had 2 picks.
Mm-hmm.
If they lose this series, I will never forgive them for that. I will never forget that they made me miss those two picks. I'll say this. Because I think that it's Canada. There's a decent amount of Seahawks fans that also watch or listen to the show, and people know I'm a Seahawks fan. The Texans did the right thing, which it felt like they were going to screw it up, right? Everybody thought Texans are going to blow this, and then they did the perfect thing, which is have two cornerstones on both sides of the ball. Yep. And maybe they don't work out because it's the Houston Texans or whatever, but you have to be thrilled if you're a fan of that team, right? Mm-hmm. The Panthers went chalk. That's fine.
Yep.
I did think that the weirdest move of the draft to me, other than like the Detroit stuff, because everyone always like has to have the whipping team where they go, oh, you took a running back, you idiots, even though it was kind of stupid, Detroit. Detroit, as one of my favorite teams, one of the only teams I don't hate, you know, a team that I kind of bury a little love for because my first love in football was Barry.
Oh, right? Really?
Oh, yeah. When I was a little kid.
Nice.
Got Detroit television and, like, that was the man.
The Lions were really good to us.
When I first pretended to play football, like in my house holding on to, like one of my early memories of like liking sports was pretending to be Barry Sanders.
That's awesome.
100%. I loved Barry Sanders. Coolest guy.
I was going to say, you weren't alone on that. It was crazy.
Yeah, no. Pretending to be Barry Sanders in my basement was the thing that happened with me. 100%. So yes, there's always love for the Detroit Lions. I was a little disappointed in the draft for my Lions. Okay. I have soft spot teams, and then I hate everybody else.
Your Lions.
Right? Yeah, they are kind of my Lions, all right? I like the Lions. There was a discussion between my brother and I of if Lamar got traded to the Lions, would we just...
You both jump ship?
Would we just do it? Would we just go and be Lions fans and embrace the silver and blue and do the road trips down to Detroit and, yeah.
Yeah.
Go all in a lot. Austin shaking his head because he's trapped Austin's with those sick, ugly jersey crap Titans.
The worst when all these Lakers fans came when LeBron James went to the Lakers. Yeah, oh,
I don't think going to the Detroit Lions is like going to the Lakers.
You're just following a player, LeBron. Man. Following the players.
No,
it was... cheer for the laundry.
Yeah, I agree. I'm just saying that I don't think it's like being a LeBron fan. I'm saying that, and I'm not a Ravens fan. I like Lamar. I'm just like the Detroit Lions have always been sneaking around, hiding out in plain sight for me as a team I like. Mm-hmm. I always root for them in that division because I hate all the other teams in that division.
Yeah.
They're disgusting. Disgusting division of disgusting teams and fans. Truly. Oh, Packers? Oh, barf. Vikings?
Bears.
Pathetic. Oh, man, Vikings fans. You want to talk about like who you can relate to as Leaf fans in terms of the pathetic rankings? Vikings fans. Mm-hmm. You're right. If you're Leafs and Vikings, whoof.
That's extremely tough.
Oh my God.
You need
Leafs
therapy.
And Vikings is a very top of the absolute pantheon of worst pairing of fan bases that you could possibly be fans of. Vikings and Leafs?
Yeah.
That's at the top. That's at the very tip of the top. Tippity top, top, top. Vikings. Whoa. Even just thinking about being a Vikings fan makes me laugh at you, Vikings fans. Anyway, yeah, that's a joke franchise.
The best part is every draft when they talk about the time Minnesota missed making their draft pick and like basically just passed. It's one of the greatest stories of all
Minnesota
time.
Sucks.
So we can hear Austin laughing in the background. Yeah,
how do you miss making a pick? This is so funny.
Yeah, I know. They're a joke. A huge joke. I actually don't really hate the Bears, but yeah, I do enough. They're lower in the hate tier. But I will say, why they traded out of the first spot. And they could have taken Jalen Carter at 9.
My Bears fans were really mad about that.
Okay, they were. Because I was
very,
not on social
very mad.
Okay, because that makes sense. Because it's like literally the guy that everybody mocked you to take when you won the first overall pick, you could have taken him there. Anyway, that one was just a little surprising. I thought for sure they were going to lock it. They were going to run to the podium with that pick, and they didn't do it. And I was a little surprised. And I, as a Seahawks fan, I do wish I got Jalen Carter. I wanted Jalen Carter or Anthony Richardson. I got neither of them. So, yeah, fine. Witherspoon, corner that hits guys, and a receiver that's a good possession receiver. Great. Whatever. It's fine. I'll like them when they're actually Seahawks. I never like the picks when they're made. All right. It's time for Best Bets, brought to you by our friends at Betano Sportsbook, the 2022 Sports Betting Operator of the Year. Best book. Love this book. Use this book every single day. Every single day, including last night when I nailed that Jaylen Brown pick. You're welcome to the listeners. Again, hit me up in the DMs if you want to try Betano out and you haven't before. It's the Jays night, all right? I'm going to bet on this Jays game. It's Manoah. It's Luis Castillo. and the total is 8.5. I think that's too much. The last time these two teams played, it was 4-0. And or with these guys starting on the mound, Manoah struggled. I think he'll bounce back. I think he found something in that Yankees game. And Luis Castillo is just an absolute freak. I looked at the first five, but I trust the Jays. Oh, that sounded bad when I was saying it out loud. When I was like, I trust the Jays bullpen against the Mariners here. So this sounds like takes from the past that I've regretted to have. But no, Jays bullpen is deep. I wish they had more lights out guys, but they are deep. So I think if something happens here, 8.5 just feels like a little bit too much. So that's my best bet, brought to you by Betano Sportsbook. The game starts now. I think maybe we'll go do a minute in the podcast. Podcast only. Subscribe and review. Leave 5 stars. Do those things. And I'll reward you.
Bonus pods.
Yeah. You get up to heaven. I'll be like, right this way.
What, you're leading them in?
Yeah. No, not me.
But I was going to say.
I'm not doing the dirty work. That's St. Peter. He's going to be the one that's like, shh, don't worry.
Hey, you said right this way.
Yeah. Someone else. When you get out of your limousine in the sky. Because you subscribe to this podcast. Some guy shows you his back. All the scrubs who didn't subscribe, they're all in the line. Oh, St. Peter, I was doing so good. I was trying my hardest out here. It's like subscribers.
This is not how I expected this to start.
Immediately, side entrance, sick party over the side in heaven.
Something about limbo here, too. You know, you're nailing it.
What?
Is it being limbo there, JD? You know, the place between heaven and hell? Yeah. And then you have to, you know, decide from there. If they listen to the podcast, they'd go up. If they didn't, they go down.
Yeah, now you ruined it.
It's the same thing as purgatory. It's time to move on.
Yeah,
let's get this done. 10 minutes.
Okay, I was like, I thought at first, though, too, I thought he was like, yeah, there's something in the limbo pun because they go to the party. They want
to play
limbo.
That's what I thought it was coming.
I thought it was like limbo. Here? Anyway, you get the dart gun for that. That's for sure. Yeah.
I'll see you guys next week.
Right in the neck for that one. Boy, oh, boy. Yo, you got to be pretty stoked about the tackle, though, right? Like, let's go around the room and do the NFL fandom because. I'll say this. Who did this? I like the tackle for Austin's Titans, right? You have to be stoked about that, Austin.
I'm very excited about that, yeah.
Because you guys, Taylor Lewan, as much as he's a good podcast host and he was great in theory when he played, he was hurt all the time, and now you've got a new...
Great podcast host, not a great tackle.
He was a really good tackle. He just couldn't stay healthy.
Sure, we can go with that.
Yeah.
Well, he had 3 good years. I'm not a fan of Taylor Lewan. That's okay. I was always a Jack Conklin guy, personally. I think they should have kept Jack Conklin. He's been really good on the Browns recently. Yeah. But yeah, happy with that. I think for the Titans, and thank you for always letting me have my Titans minute, JD. Yeah. I really appreciate it. I think this is a rebuilding year for them. I think it's going to be really, really, really rough for them.
Yeah, they're going to trade. I'd be a little nervous that they didn't get any of the trades off day one or before the draft. That just shows me that... There's no value in Derrick Henry and Ryan Tannehill. And maybe, what's the destination point now for Tannehill? Who's taking him? I will say this. If there was divisional trades, it would be super, super smart if the Colts could get him. If the Colts could snag him.
He's the perfect guy to stand in front of Richardson for a year.
Just a year of standing in front of him and going, hey, we can draw up a similar playbook for these two guys. That would be great. But I doubt that happens. I really do. And because the Colts can't throw Anthony Richardson out there right away. Like, that's just, I don't think so. For your Titans. But I'm worried about the Derrick Henry stuff. And
And a running back being your best player, you don't have an opportunity to tank. You need to be competing every year. So it sucks.
They're too good, too. Like, they're not going to tank. They're too good. They have Vrabel. He'll win them three.
Vrabel will win them, five, six games by himself.
He'll win. Yeah, I was going to say, he's good, worth three. But as of right now. But it's like, the weird thing is that, when you guys were up, I didn't feel like the Will Levis thing was not a possibility. And they went, and I went, that's not a good sign for
Austin. Did mention before the show today that he wouldn't mind him now in the second round.
No, but buddy, guess what? Welcome to the second round of the draft. The guy who falls every fan base goes, you know what I would like to do is have the guy. That's what I'm doing too.
Yeah.
Obviously, I'm doing that. 37 Seattle picks. I'm going, Will Levis would be my top choice because he's the name that people know. That's what's so funny about the draft. I'm such a piss baby when it comes to the draft. Like, if I don't get my guy, I'm like, I hate my team. I saw like 4 Jalen Carter games. I'm just
a couple YouTube videos.
Can't believe I didn't get him. Boo-hoo. I'm just such a baby, and I'm just texting my Seahawks friends like, "Can you leave the pass in the gay?" And then just whatever. It's fine. The next day, I go, "Yes, Witherspoon kid looks pretty sweet. All right, I'm in.
Illinois let's quarterback.
Go. Yeah, let's go. I do. I still do think like you can take a." Jalen Carter, game record, defensive tackle. Awesome. Now, and you know what the worst part is about me with Jalen Carter now? is now I just hope he's a complete bust. Like, I hope he gets out of shape. I hope he does more crimes. You know, like, I just crime it up, Jalen, because you didn't come to my team. So let it be a thing where I go and say, yeah, that was really smart of them not to roll the dice on that guy because he turned out to be a bad dude. Like, now I'm rooting for this guy's worst possible timeline because he's not a Seahawk. Whereas
it's almost impossible given the defense he's going to. Like, yeah, it's crazy. I don't think he can be a bust.
Dude, it's so perfect.
Yeah, it went right to the
Eagles. Eagles probably got the biggest steals yesterday.
So Eagles fans, I actually do have a little bit of respect for. I like the Eagles because the lesser of two evils to me with the Cowboys, even though the Cowboys haven't won, it's just like their fan bases hate each other. And so if you force me to choose, I'm not going with Dallas.
Yeah.
Duh.
For sure.
And so I'm going with like the Eagles, the greasy Eagles fans. But now I kind of like the Eagles even more because they're at least the Niners stopper, you know? Like the Eagles are my team where I go, first of all, Seattle beat you last time in the playoffs. So we own you. You're trash.
You've only won
Super Bowls that you hadn't had to go through the Seahawks. Two, you can stop the greasy Niners and block Dallas from winning divisions.
Yeah.
Nice.
Well, it's like enemy of an enemy is my friend.
That's it. Exactly. They're just, they're kind of a neutral-ish, I don't mind. Like, they're the fan that got Joey Bosa at the at the Super Bowl
outside the game.
Bosa, that was
getting so mad.
I kind of like Philly fans. All right, I'm sort of in on them. So yeah. Good for Philly. Nice draft, and then they get the other kid from Georgia. Right at late in the draft, he fell and they snagged
Nolan
him.
Nolan Smith, yeah. On top 10. That's what I mean. They
dominated. Ah, damn it. Yeah. I would have loved for that to be the Seahawks draft. They picked before them both times. Ah! Anyway, it's fine. It's totally fine. I'll be fine in 2 weeks.
Saints passing Nolan Smith, too.
So, this is next. Azo, do you have a team?
Yeah, but I don't want to talk about it.
Vikings?
Oh, no.
Are you a Vikings fan?
No.
Okay.
Your silence is telling.
So perfect.
His silence is telling.
He had to limp in here. Look.
It's almost as bad. Cardinals. Oh, yeah. A little bit for the Bills because
they
go to the game.
Yeah. Cardinals is bad. Although, yeah. I don't know. You traded back and you got tackled. It's fine.
The roster couldn't get worse, so anything they did was going to be good.
That's the thing. You're just it's like Cardinals fans are already browbeaten by the fact that Kyler obviously sucks.
They draft an offensive player and to try and keep him healthy, it's not going to help.
Yeah, he's terrible in Call of Duty double XP weekends.
Cardinals took Josh Rosen and Kyler Murray back-to-back years. It's tough. It's really and then when Kyler and their head coach looked like the worst duo in sports and they were having huge cries and deleting their stuff from Instagram, and their coach clearly was just like a loser, like a complete, absolute, and unquestionable loser. They went out and gave both of them millions of dollars and now have crippled their financial future for the next three, four years.
Okay, that's why I didn't want to talk about it.
No, but that's what I'm saying. It's tough for you. Yeah. So it's just like, you're right. It's just such a, no matter what they did, it was just such an irrelevant move. It was like, oh, it's nice.
And Paris Johnson, they trust.
Hey, way to
but
go.
But hey, I'm not a Vikings fan. So
way to go.
On. Yeah.
The Saints were interesting because if we're talking about Will Levis teams,
I thought they were going to grab him.
100%.
But the Derek Carr signing.
Who cares?
There was the Derek Carr signing. I'm not surprised they went defensive tackle, though.
Yeah.
Because now Brian Breesy, I don't know, of course, a ton about him. I didn't watch a ton of Clemson games, but he does inside. Like, he helps on the inside, helps Cam Jordan.
It's okay. You can just regurgitate what you read
on
the
website. No,
it's fine. Say what Mel Kiper blurb read.
Read the Mel Kiper blurb.
Read the article you read that was most positive about your guy,
I'm not hiding it at all. This is fully what I've read.
Yeah, I know, but that's what I'm saying. I've only seen a couple of clips again. Just say what you read, because we're all the same.
Good on the inside, you know, nine technique.
Yeah, it's all friends here.
I'm not making myself out to be, like, so smart. This is what I have regurgitated.
No one thinks you're so smart, Joe. Nobody's like, is Joe so smart? To throw so in front of that?
No, I'm just letting you know.
Okay, thank you. All right, now that we've established everybody that nobody in here is just a draft guru, that we're all just reading the same articles and basically interpreting off those. Hey, I like Daniel Jeremiah too, guys. Yeah, I'm also following. Hey, have you guys ever heard of Bucky Brooks? Yeah, like, I got this. Anyway, so you didn't have a little feeling like Derek Carr, we want to, I guess
a little feeling. I'm not going to,
No, but you're right. The Derek Carr thing, it does make more sense when you think about it this way, is he was being pretty pissy about the Raiders exit and they went out and got him and they had to sort of court him. And it would have been a bit of a weird move to be like,
give him a bunch of money.
We got this guy, gave him a bunch of money, and then we drafted the quarterback right after.
Yeah.
I wonder if someone's going to trade up for Levis right away. Just at start the draft, trade
like
up
pick
for
34
him.
Or 35.
Yeah,
just
exactly.
Grab him.
Right away, like somebody's on the clock and they're moving, they're grabbing him. because yeah, he's got to go fairly soon. And yes, you're right. I'm fully in. The Seahawks draft Will Levis. I'm very stoked. Very, very
Rams before him could steal him.
I also like. Why would Detroit take him at 34 there too?
Actually, I kind of like that.
Because I don't know about you guys, but I'm not a Jared Goff guy. I think that was a little bit of a fluky year last year.
I think here's, you know what sucks for me? I think Jared Goff and Geno Smith are like in the same.
Yeah, mode. that's a great tier. Right, they're the like, exact same
they're
tier.
The same. Geno's and now Geno's got a bit of an upper hand in the tier, but ultimately it's like these are quarterbacks who can win against bad teams and win when the game script is one way and hang around and deliver some throws, but ultimately. Mm-hmm. You're never going to be like, yes.
And both teams have some good young offensive weapons, yeah. So you need another quarterback who can step in right after they're done, which could be any moment.
Yeah, that's my thing with the Seahawks right now, why I can't just get so fully all in and stoked, is that Geno Smith is just, he's fine. It was a cool story when people were like, yo, you guys are giving Geno a chance. I was like, yeah, he's a good guy. He's redemption. Yeah.
Now we're giving him
a huge bag of money, and he's your quarterback for the next 3 years. I'm like, that's fun.
He's experienced, though, enough to make the good throws, and Pete Carroll's always a run guy. So
Is that what you like? You got a good quarterback there. He's experienced enough to make the good throws. It's like, ugh.
That's, he can throw the ball.
Disgusting. I'd rather, I'm not even kidding. I'd rather be I watch enough sports. I'd rather be a trash team that has a direction than the Raptors of the NFL, which is the Geno Smith method.
Win 7-9 games every year. Yeah, it's the worst.
Don't care. Don't want this. Yeah, the Austin Titans have been trapped in this for year after year, basically. Although, I will say that the Tannehill, Derrick Henry thing felt like it had legs. You guys beating
the
Ravens.
Then he threw 4 picks against the Bengals in the playoffs. Oh.
But the Ravens game, the Ravens win, I remember
watching. The Patriots win, too. I went,
boy, these guys could be the real deal. But you can't win with those jerseys. They're just so bad. It's the worst uniform in pro sports.
And the same jerseys as the Argos. They just won the Great Cup.
No, man, Argos is so much nicer than Titans. I hate really when you make that comparison. Really, it's like Argos gear is so nice. Anyway, Lamar. Was it 5 years, 260?
It is 5 years, 260, 185 guaranteed. It's $52 million a year. It's the highest paid quarterback.
So congrats to my little brother.
I was about to say, what was your brother's first reaction?
Dude, he texted me, I think I'm going to cry. Because I told you, Lamar and the Ravens fit. And the fan base loves Lamar to death. When I went to their games in Florida and Baltimore, which is the two Lamar zones, it was Lamar celebration time. They have, everything is built around Lamar there. He's the entire identity of the franchise. It used to be the defense, right? Like it used to be Ray Lewis, Ed Reed. Defense, Ravens, toughness, blue collar, defensive team. Then Lamar came and he completely shifted it and it became Lamar. Big trust. It's crazy to me how much, there's a couple things. Obviously there was collusion, and I will say this. I'm really not trying to dunk on you Jets fans. I'm not. I swear to God. I actually have a bit of a soft spot for the Jets as well. The Jets are like a tiny little soft spot. They're one of my soft spot franchises, okay? Jets and Dolphins both, and Bills actually. If there's a division, if I had to put together actually a division of I like the most, AFC East. Yeah. I like the teams in that division the most. Like, I have soft spots for a lot of those teams. Even the Patriots, at times, I've had to cheer for the Patriots.
Any against specific teams, or?
Yeah. I've had to have some moments. I hate the Patriots. I hate their fans. But I'm just saying, there has been moments in the past where I've had to, everybody knows, you have to kind of cheer for the Patriots at some times. Everyone's done it.
Yeah,
everyone's been there
true.
Before.
No, yeah.
I'll suck it, Peyton Manning.
I was always Peyton guy, but yeah. So, if you're a Jets fan and you gave up a second this year and what is very likely a first next year, and who'd you get in the draft, Jets fans? I don't know. Some guy. 15th overall.
Will McDonald.
Will McDonald. Great. Come on down. Will McDonald, your second round pick and next year's first round pick. And Aaron Rodgers. Or Lamar. Just feel like, why didn't you just go get Lamar?
Yeah, that's a good point.
It just, cool. You got a 40-year-old guy who fills his diaper every 2 weeks with complaints versus Lamar. It just, the price point for Rodgers, if it was just Rodgers for like a third and a second or whatever, or the trade back and a second, but the fact that they had to throw in that extra first round pick, I'm like, okay, well, what was the difference between you doing that and Lamar, because I'd way rather have Lamar than Aaron Rodgers. And so that one kind of stung me. And mm-hmm. and I do feel like there's the Lamar Jackson thing. He signs that contract. People go, oh, the most money ever for a quarterback. You're like, yeah, yeah, for 5 minutes until next year when that contract is a bargain and it's amazing. I just feel as though there's going to be like five fan bases that go, boy, why didn't we just trade for Lamar Jackson? A quarterback, one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, was up for a trade, and our teams did the collusion thing and didn't trade for him. Like, even if you're a Colts fan, Anthony Richardson better be the man. Like, he better be the man. You can be stoked on Anthony Richardson, and I would be too if I was a Seahawks fan. But there's got to be a part of you when you're watching him over the next 2 years, and he's struggling to figure out, like, are we sure that this guy is going to learn how to play football on the fly? Because that's pretty hard to do, is to learn how to be a quarterback at the NFL level. Like, it's not exactly an easy task.
Not an easy job.
And he's going to be doing that, and you go, well, you could have just taken the 4 pick and the money and got Lamar. And he didn't do that. So anyway, I just, that went under the radar to me, is like the collusion thing, and then Lamar has to do the flock baby, and they bring him back, and everyone's like, the power of Odell. I'm like, no, that's the power of owners colluding and agreeing not to pay this guy and trying to reset the market after the Deshaun Watson thing a year ago. So I thought it was dirty business. And I think some fan bases actually did get screwed out of the Lamar conversation, because, like, imagine this happens in the NBA. Like, one of the 6 best guys in the NBA is available for a trade and nothing happens.
Yeah.
Because the money, it's just nuts. It's crazy that that happened. And it just, the way it was celebrated, we're happy that Lamar went back to the Ravens. You can be happy that he went back to the Ravens. It's a perfect fit. I'm glad. Now watching with all these receivers, I will say, go look at Baltimore's history of drafting wide receivers. It's hilariously bad. So I did think it was funny that all the Ravens fans, and shouts to my brother for this too, they were like, man, Zay Flowers, Rashad Bateman, and Odell. I'm like, oh man, the guy in his 30s who's been hurt all the time and had played like 4 good games the last 5 years, plus Rashad Bateman, who's always hurt too, and a receiver you guys drafted, the 3rd in the NFL draft, loaded. Like, what are we talking about here? Ravens fans, delusional. You guys literally drafted no receivers ever in the history of your organization that hit. You're the Mark Clayton franchise, okay? I know. I've been watching the NFL. You guys, like my brother, casuals who don't really watch football and kind of know a little bit of NFL. Ed Reed, flock, casuals.
I'm going to clip this and put it on Ravens Reddit.
You should.
And just, well, their best receiver last like 20 years, Antoine Bolden? Like, seriously.
No, dude, they are purely.
I mean, Todd Heap, obviously, but he was a tight end.
No, that doesn't count, Todd Heap. also, no, they don't draft receivers. They do not hit on drafting receivers. They don't.
I like the Zay Flowers pick, though.
Sure. We'll see.
Oh, that's, no, it's our boy, Steve Smith. Sorry.
Yeah, but Steve Smith, again, signed there.
Yeah, no, they don't.
The tail end of his career. Bolden signed there. They don't draft guys.
Draft and develop.
They suck at it. Go through their history. Find me their best receiver that they've ever drafted. That's what I mean. Even, like, Hollywood Brown, gone. Rashad Bateman, broken down. What are you getting out of Rashad Bateman next year? What, you're a Ravens fan, taking 8 games, lock it in, 9 games, lock it in. Like, what's the number?
Over 8.5.
It's not 16 games. Anyway, So the winners and losers of the draft thing is always kind of lame, because it's usually the teams that have 2 picks that get the winners, and then some team takes 1 reach and they get slammed with the losers, and everyone's dunk on the Lions today. I see that. I haven't had a real chance to catch up a minute on the draft, because yesterday was just, I finished the Leafs game and then I watched the Jets pathetic finish their season. You have bonus audio? We got to go here. Let's wrap this up. But that has to feel so, all I want to say about this is just like, that has to be so satisfying. To go
you
up
just
there
let it all out.
And just berate. How long is your clip?
50 seconds here.
Play it.
No questions? Good.
Yeah.
Overall thoughts. I'm so disappointed and disgusted right now. Yeah. That's my thoughts.
Yeah. Where
does the disgust come from?
Pardon me?
Where does the disgust come from?
He's fuming.
No pushback.
Yeah.
But it's the same crap we saw in February. It was. That's why so as soon as we were challenging for first place and teams were coming after us, we had no pushback. This series, we had no pushback. Their better players are so much better than ours. It's not even close.
Yes.
It's like you've been holding these feelings on for a bit. Is it just out of tonight's game, or finally wanting to release that?
It started back in January and February.
Dude, it's the
what
nose
is it
breathing.
About this team leadership core, the top end players? We've talked all.
We got to push back. There's got to be a pushback. There's got to be pride. You got to be able to push back when things aren't going your way. We had no pushback. Their better players were so much better than ours tonight. They deserved to win. They were the better team in the regular season. They were the better team in this series. Anything else? Good. Thanks.
Lovely. Lovely stuff.
Good,
honestly,
thanks.
10 out of 10 for you, Rick. As a guy who's been mad a lot, I can tell you that has some great being mad hallmarks. Like the no of the breathing. That's mad guy breathing. You could hear that breathing. And so what's the emotion that guy's feeling? He's like, he is mad. He is so mad.
Just furious.
From the breathing. Two is repeating yourself. Just, he's so mad about those two things that he's
taking out of his head.
He's going back and forth on like, no pushback. Like, same crap. He's trying so hard not to swear. And he just wants to get out of there because he hates every second of this. And he knows every second with his angry brain in front of that podium, he could make a huge mistake.
Multiple. Anything else? Anything
else? Anything else. Yeah. He's just in full mad guy brain. And it, in the moment when he was leaking out those little bits of anger, he's like, no pushback. Their best players are so much better than our best players. Those, every leak of that anger, sweet. I hope he went right from the podium, Austin, and just hacked a dart. Podium to dart, and then that cool down. Whew, I'm getting chills thinking about how good that must have felt for him. Sick.
No questions, good.
Yeah, no questions, good.
The hallmark of the answering, asking a question, answering it right away, too.
Yeah, I know, it's so good.
My dad did that to me many times.
Yeah, I'm sure he's quite mad at you a lot. Anyway, I thought that was great. Anything else? Yeah, I'll just mention quickly, podcast only heading this Friday. Saw the Raptors coaching search thing. I have zero opinions on this, okay? So people being like, oh, you're ignoring it. It's like, no, okay. So they interviewed Becky Hammond, to speak to Becky Hammond, Kenny Atkinson, Charles Lee. I like how he's Milwaukee's assistant. I'm like, not that guy.
After that performance? Yeah, like,
anybody,
please no.
Anybody with that guy. Kevin Young from Phoenix, San Antonio's Mitch Johnson, Sacramento's Jordy Fernandez, Memphis's Darko Rajakovic, Miami's Chris Quinn. Wow. What a laundry list of you gotta have 'ems there we have in front of us. What do you want me to say about this? I don't know anything about these dudes. And Becky Hammond, all right. Like, I have no, all I know is that everybody, this just shows me how much they were just Ime Udoka is their guy.
Yeah. That was my first
thought. You're going from Nick Nurse to a bunch of.
It's all assistant coaches.
Charles Lee? Who is that? There's not even a name I know on here other than Kenny Atkinson.
You know Becky Hammond. Come on.
Yeah, of course I know Becky Hammond. It's led Becky with Hammond. Becky Hammond.
You know Becky Hammond. Come on.
Shut up, Austin.
JD, you're not a big Kevin Young guy?
Yeah. Chris Quinn? Jordy Fernandez. I kind of hope we get Jordy Fernandez. Best name in the squad. That's my opinion.
Agree.
Jordy.
Bring back Jerry Stackhouse from Vanderbilt.
Imagine having a coach named Jordy.
Jordy Fernandez.
All right, Coach Jordy. Jordy is the name of a child who picks his nose. Okay?
So okay, when name, you say it like that.
Yeah, it is. Hey, you know Jordy? Yeah, he's picking his nose over there. He's, again.
Jordy cannot push around refs.
Yeah. Jordy Fernandez.
Jordy cannot push around refs.
Please don't let this happen now because this would be death blow for me. But yeah, Jordy is that's that kind of kid. The kid in the neighborhood who's like, he just shows up and he's at your house. Can you come and play? You're like, Mom, tell Jordy that I am not available for playing time.
Darko Rajakovic is a pretty cool name, too.
Yeah, it's the name of an assassin.
Yeah, okay, yeah, fair.
Yeah. Darko Rajakovic, definitely you hire if you need a hit on somebody.
And, well, some Raptor fans might do.
And you know that's
point.
Not his real name. Anyways, all right, subscribe to the podcast, leave 5 stars, and yeah, enjoy your weekend as best you can if you love the Leafs, because boy, it's gonna be a hard one.
Prediction for Saturday?
Leafs win, and the Leafs win in convincing fashion. And I will say that my boy Jake B. Leafs, great Twitter account, great, I just got a notification from my Google that I got blocked. I'm not trying to say, I got this stupid thing with my Google right now where it's like, it does the verification for me every single time. Like, verify it's you, verify it's you. Every time it signs out, I'm like, can you just chill? It's me.
It's the same device.
Just chill. And I keep hitting the button of do not ask me on this device. And it's like, ah, Don't even bother pressing that. That's because what a hacker would say. I'm going to keep asking you on this device. I just got that. I was like, what's this notification? And they're like, you're blocked out. We blocked. Hey, Google's like, we blocked somebody. Hey, they're like high-fiving. We blocked them. It's me, you
the
idiots.
Google headquarters.
You're the worst security team ever. God, I hate you guys.
It's always on that phone,
no, I
too.
Know. It's just out there. Yeah, it's always on my laptop, actually. It's always on my laptop that they're always, like, blocking me out of. And they're like, nah, you can't see your
emails. They see the same device,
hey,
and they just keep.
You guys can't see that your good food order is on the way, all right? No, you can't track it. We're protecting that information.
Protect
We're making
middle
sure
finger.
That it's out there. Anyways, good job, Google team. Anyway. Yeah, but Jake B. Leafs, that was why I looked at my phone, is to pull up the DM. I sent him a congratulations because he's a big Colts fan. And then he said, I like this. I really like this. So I'm reading it. He said, please advise your listeners. They need to go to a place in the universe. Let me try that again. Please advise your listeners. They need to listen to the universe and go to the place they're drawn to. We need to be in the right places for the Leafs to break the curse. And I went, I actually really love that. Go to the places you're drawn to. Where are you supposed to be?
Follow your heart.
For Saturday night. Where are you supposed to be? Go there.
And stand up.
Yeah, if you're at the game. I will say this. If you are at the game, stand up.
Yeah.
If you are at the game, cheer hard. This is now where private time. Versteeg's right. Don't ever tell him. But
we only admit that on the podcast.
In a quiet moment, if you're at a hockey game and you're there, like, why did you go?
It's a playoff game, too.
To sit there and be quiet? Like, no, you go to be crowd. Like, I would just say this. Think about all the people who you've ever seen on TV when they're being quiet. If you're a fan, you go, oh, if I was there, if only I could be there. It's like, well, yeah, do something about it. Anyway, God, and if you are there, congrats on your riches. Congrats.
To winning the lottery.
Yeah, whenever people send me those DMs, sometimes that happens. People will be like, I'm going to the game tonight. I'm like, send me money. Shut up. Don't
say brag, dude.
Yeah, I know. They're like, I'm going to the game tonight. I'm like, all right.
Got a spare?
Yeah. Are you going to send me some cash? You're going to send me an e-transfer? Because, good for you.
It's like when you work in sports, they just, like, want to tell you they're going to games. It's I don't care.
Yeah. Anyway. All right. Let's wrap this up. I got to go to eat absolute trash on Vancouver radio right now. Anyway, subscribe to the podcast. Leave 5 stars. Share it with your friends. Do all those nice things. See you Monday. Oh, I'll see you Saturday after Leafs Talk after the game. See you then.